Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? I hope you're doing good. Just trying to fix something here real quick. Okay. Sorry about that. So today is John 15, Christ, the true vine. You notice where we left off in 14 was in the upper room. I had mentioned this picture. We're right there in the center. You can see that a group of buildings looks almost like a square. According to the map, this is the model. And it, they say that that's the general location of the upper room. So that's where we're starting off today. And I'll start with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for this time that we get to look into your word and to take a look and see what you have for us for today. Help us to see something new and refreshing. And I might be able to see your vision when it comes to this passage. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So we're in 15, starting at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And right away, right off the bat, you can see this over in Isaiah, makes reference to this. And so, Isaiah 5. There it is. Now I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, Judea, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been added more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I look that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. This is all hints of Jesus and things he's going to face, as I can see. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that rain, no rain upon it. For the vineyard of my Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judea his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry. So more or less, God's kind of showing his frustration there in Isaiah as he's thinking about Israel. And that, and not much different today. There's plenty of people that just don't want to see that God is who he is. He is God. He's the creator. So this is kind of what this passage, I get a flavor of that Jesus is going to be talking about. And I think this is actually in chapter 14, the last verse. It said that, so that they were leaving the upper room and heading to Gethsemane. And so for the next couple of chapters, we're going to see him talk about a few things. And it, it really seems to me that he is probably walking and talking it. Let me just real quick and kind of get a feel for what I'm talking about. See, he left here and it, and he's going to walk from there. See, the temple's right over in the upper right corner here. So he's going to walk probably up the street up here and head towards the corner of the temple. I'll show you a map in a second. Out in front of the temple and front door area and go to Gethsemane. And so this is, if you see number two back there on this map, you can see a little path here they drew, kind of going in front of the temple and out to Gethsemane, whereas Gethsemane is in three, where three is. I'll get you an idea. That, so I'm thinking he's actually talking as he's walking, is my guess. I can't prove it for sure, but it makes sense to me. So anyways, 15:2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So there's a lot packed into this verse right here. And it wanted to just reference a few verses that kind of reflects on here. And you notice here it says, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And you kind of see this over in Matthew 25:30, where he says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You also see this in Matthew 13:12. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. There was also a parable on that subject where he gave a certain amount of stuff to three servants, and he went away, and two of the servants were actually able to make more from what he gave them. But the third servant didn't do anything, and he hid it in the ground. And so when he came back and found out the third servant hadn't done anything, he took that, what the servant had hid away in the ground, and gave it to the others. So that this verse here is kind of making reference to that. So also in 15:2, though, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now I want to mention this a little bit. We see this a little bit over in Romans, starting in 5:3 through verse 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. This is kind of like the purging, refinement, I like to think of it. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So it's kind of making reference there, and we also see it in Hebrews. Well, Hebrew, no, I'm going to get that in a second, explains refinement. But basically what I'm saying here is that I like to think that whenever we go through tribulation, that it's God working on us to make us, and that's kind of like what he's saying there, verse there in 15:2, where he says he's going to purge us. So we bring forth more fruit. We also see this in Hebrews 12:5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despises not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he received. For ye endure any chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what a son is, he father chasteneth not. But if ye be without chastisement, wherein all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we have them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastity for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So I like to think that just like any child, when we love our children, we correct them when they have done things wrong, so they'll learn from it. And Our Father in heaven is no different. He wants to see us do our very best. But don't look at tribulation as a negative thing. It's God's way of not necessarily that we did anything wrong all the time, but it makes us ready for whatever's going to come our way, I like to think, too. So there's two reasons. It might be for something we did wrong, but also might be just to make us stronger. So that's what I see out of that verse. So I put a lot into those first two verses, so we'll move along a little bit faster now. So, 53. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So here I go. So call it all glory to be persecuted. That's what I get out of this section. Over in Galatians. Nope. Where am I? Nope. Oh, no. So this is our ultimate goal, I'm sure, to be glorified, and you should bear much fruit. So over in Galatians 5:22, we see that reflected. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, long-suffering, gentle, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So that's our ultimate goal, is to bring forth much fruit. Okay, verse 9. As a father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. And we see that's also in, it sounds familiar, we saw it in John 13:54. Also, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And also over in Romans, we see it also, Romans 12:9. Let's see what I do this for. 1 second. Trying to wipe out that there. I think I put that in the wrong place. I'm not sure why. Oh, I think it was a definition of love. Okay. Be without dissimulation. Okay. Had to look that word up. It's basically means misleading through lies and trickery. So abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. So I'm not sure exactly how to put that verse there. I was thinking something coming to me now. Greater love hath no man, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whosoever I command you. Henceforth I call you, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. So they're growing in faith. And I think we do too. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whosoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. He may give it to you. It give it you. Sometimes these words don't quite flow the way I'm used to speaking. So here I wanted to mention about being chosen. And he says it again over in Acts 1. It's not in verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Okay, back to John. These things I command you, that you love one another. He's repeated it so many times that I think it's an important, he's trying to really lay it down, to really have love for one another. If the world hate you, and you know that it hated me before it hated you, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Boy, ain't that the truth? And we see this reflected. Yeah. I like to think of it as we know that we're making headway when we get persecuted, and we see this over in Genesis 12:1 also. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curse thee, and there shall all families of the earth be blessed. And that's an important thing, is that even though we get persecuted, that we need to persevere because by us being persecuted, it's kind of proof that we're having an effect, that we're doing God's will, because we knew that God said it first. But if we bless God and that we do his commandments, then we'll do better and we'll be blessed by him, which more important to me than being blessed by the world. But also over in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh, and to be a son of the Father. That's an amazing place to be. And back over to John. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If you have kept my saying, they will keep. If you have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things which they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. They have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Definitely don't want to be in that position. If I had not done among them the works which not other men did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in the law, They hated me without a cause. We see that in Psalms in a couple of places. First one is Psalms 35:19. But not them that are my enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hateth me without a cause. This is David, both cases speaking. And then in Psalms 69:4, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restore that which I took not away. So we will be to be separate from the world, definitely to be one with Christ, and the world's not going to like us. On the verse 26 here, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. I like this verse. Some I want to bring up in this verse here is over in Acts. About the Comforter. Shall send even the Spirit of truth, proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. But basically, this whole passage kind of indicates about the world, everything. And I like something that Paul said, well, actually, that Paul was taught under Gamaliel to be a Jewish of the law. And he went on to, Emilio had said later on in Acts about this movement of Jesus. And I kind of wanted to pick on that because it kind of reminded me of it when I read this verse. So here in Acts 22:3, we see that Paul mentions this man. I am verily a man, which I am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Sicilia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel. According to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye are all this day. That's Paul talking about his early childhood and where he grew up. And so I wanted to reference that he was trained under this Gamaliel. But Gamaliel himself, in Acts 5, is talking about this new move at the way, and this Jesus Christ. And that he's trying to let the Pharisees know that if this is just another cult or another, if it ain't true, don't worry about it. It'll go away. Yeah. We'll just read here in Acts 5:34. It goes through 39. Then stood there up one in the council of Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourself what ye intend to do as touching these men. Basically, give them a warning. For before these days rose up, Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. So basically, this was somebody else claiming a prophet that came and said it. And he soon died off. And verse 37, he said, this man rose up, Judas of Galilee, in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. So that come and went. On to say, I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. At least happily you be found even to fight against God. Wise man there. And even though I don't know if he ever became a believer of Jesus Christ, at least he is using some logic here to tell the Pharisees that this ain't going to go away. And not if it's of God. So over in last verse of the chapter, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And that's the end of chapter 15. But just as a final note, you know, that Well, here we are 2,000 years later, and just like Amelia said, I don't think it didn't come to naught, since we all still believe in Jesus Christ. So it must be true. And so that's all I have for today. So I'll end with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the promises you give us. And I hope that we look forward to your soon return as we see it nearing ever so closely. And I also want to say thank you so much for all the blessings you bestow upon me. And you help me to discern your word, and that I don't falter in my understanding of it, and I might be able to help others to see what your intent is. So, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that teaches me all things, and that he is with me, and I look forward to whatever you have for me to do. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So I hope you all have a great day, and we'll talk again tomorrow. And yeah, we got Wednesday night prayer meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. So hope to see you all there. Have a great day.